Let's unite our hearts in prayer. We come to thee, Lord, having assembled in thy house this afternoon. Thou hast blessed us in this morning. Thou hast faithful and showered us with the blessings of thy word in this morning. And we're able to pause and have a meal together with our families and friends. And we've come together again, O Lord, with a new hunger for thy word, and we ask, O Lord, that thou would fill us with the daily bread of thy word, that we would leave refreshed and renewed in mind and heart, O Lord. Bless our gathering, our coming together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear, I'd like to read this afternoon a few verses in actually three different portions of Scripture. So we'll just take a moment to find them. The first one being in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to read verse number 18. And then we'll turn to Romans 8 and read verse 29. And then the first two verses of chapter 12 of Romans. Ljubav ne želim da se pročita zajednički sa Božjom pomoću iz nekoliko glava. Prvo je 2. Korinčanima, 3. glava, 18. broj. I onda iz Rimljanima, 8. glava, 29. broj. I Rimljanima, 12. glava, prva dva broja. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 12, the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless our reading, and let us kneel before him in prayer.
Dear Lord, we come before thee this afternoon, yet again, Lord, upon bended knee. Father, we know that we as thy creation are in our rightful place when we are upon our knees before thee, the living God. And we are reminded by the truth, Lord, now even that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And so, Father, we just come before thee with hearts, Lord, that are focused towards thee and desires to know thee and to love thee and to serve thee in what ways that thou wouldst grant unto us that we would be able to. And so, Father, we would come in this afternoon now to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that thy word would be alive in our hearts, and that we, O God, by thy grace, might be diligent to be doers of what thy word would have for us to do. And so, Father, we would behold thy glory in this afternoon. Father, we would desire to see thee, Lord, in the spirit, Lord, to behold thy face and to know that thou art he who ruleth upon the earth, on the throne, Father, and the earth is thy footstool. Thou art he who no man can dethrone, O God. And Father, we know that though Satan, he may be powerful, Lord, that he is controlled by thee. And so we give thee thanks and we give thee praise for that. We behold thy glory. And Lord, we would desire, Lord, now to be joined with thee in spirit and in heart, O Father. Lord, we pray thee that we would ever recognize that thou as sovereign God, Father, has a will, and thou hast given unto us a will, Lord, whether we would serve thee in truth and in uprightness, or whether we would not. And so, Father, we know that when we, Lord, by thy grace, are true to thee and desire to have a will that would serve thee, Father, that we can have that oneness with thee, and that we are blessed, and we feel thy peace and thy joy. And Lord, we know that thou dost fill us, O Lord, with the presence of thy Spirit. And so we give thee thanks for all these things. And so, Father, for our congregation that we would have here, our prayer would be is that thou wouldst provide for each and every one of us. Lord, we as ourselves can provide a limited amount of ability of our own to provide for ourselves. And Father, even less ability, Lord, to help those round about us. Father, but we know that thou art he who can do all things. And so, Father, we turn to thee for help, turn to thee for sustenance, Lord, and just pray thee that thou bless each and every one that is gathered here. Fill us, Lord, with all of our needs. Father, we have needs spiritually, we have needs physically. Father, we have needs emotionally, relationship, and in every way, Father. We have needs, Father, and we just rely upon Thee that Thou supply each and every one of our needs. Father, we pray Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us even as we are, Father, that Thou wouldst just help us and that Thou wouldst bless us with Thy love and that Thou wouldst fill us with Thy Spirit and that we would have that oneness and that union with Thee. And so we pray now, Lord, as Thy word would go forth and empower, Lord, that Thou wouldst give grace to our brother as he would speak forth on these words that Thou hast placed in his heart, Lord, that he would share. Lord, may we be one in the Spirit, Lord, and that Thy love would be made manifest and that Thy care, Lord, for us would be made manifest. And so we just pray Thee, abide Thou with us. We love and thank Thee for all things and pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Dear ones, the thought comes to my mind often of the purposes that God has for me, for you. What is, you know, when we consider we're on this earth a very short span of years, and life has gone on for several thousand years, generations are born, they die. And as the scripture says, the place, they're forgotten like they never existed. It's like a blade of grass. Certainly, there's many who have had impressions upon our lives who we remember. We remember perhaps their birthdays, days that they passed away, things in their lives that drew us to them and so on. But that's in our lifespan. I don't know anyone that died before I was born. I can read history and so on, but we don't know them. So we just know in this little window of opportunity that we have the people around us whom we have, and then it's gone. And life, as it's called, it's like a rat race, right? We just are constantly on the go, on the move, acquiring, and whether it be knowledge through schooling, bettering positions in life of jobs and so on. And it's just a constant push and struggle to live the daily life. And then we are also placed upon us the thoughts of retirement, preparation for retirement. Will I be able to retire? What am I going to do? And it's just a nonstop thought. But when it's done, when someone dies, what was it about? What was it all about? Some have children, some don't. Some have siblings, some don't. Some never knew their parents, some did, and so on. But when it's all done, what was the purpose of my life here? And the Lord makes it very clear, I believe, in the verses that we have read, that the ultimate purpose that God has created us and given us the breath of life is to be conformed unto His Son, into the image of Jesus Christ. That is our ultimate purpose, why we are on this earth. We're not on this earth for all of the things that we pursue and do. Those are the things that we have to do because we live in a cursed earth. But the purpose is for us to be conformed unto Jesus Christ. And so we know that, right? We know these things. However, I believe that too often we don't really do what we are instructed to do, as we read in the passage in Corinthians. It says, we all with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. all with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. So we think, well, what is the glory of the Lord? And we are called to look upon it, not to glance. I didn't look up the meaning of beholding, but just in the understanding of just reading it, it means to look upon, not a glance, but behold. Beholding, meaning looking intently, gazing upon it, not glancing, but gazing upon the glory of the Lord so that I can be changed into that image by the Spirit of the Lord. So how can I see the glory of the Lord? Is it some halo? Is it some light? Because I don't see it. So what is the glory of the Lord that I am to behold and look upon? It's Him. When we look upon Christ, we are beholding His glory. When we read of Christ, we are beholding His glory. I can't be changed into an image of light in the sense of, I think of Jesus as an unapproachable light, right? God is something that we can't approach unto. And so who is the image that I am to be transformed into? It's none other than the one who has showed Himself who He is. And He has showed Himself in the pages of His Word. And the Word is Him. And so we have to then consider that in order for me to be changed, conformed, transformed, regenerated, any term we want to use, which is all scriptural, we have to behold the one who we are to be changed into. We have to know Him. So we are beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And then we are changed into the same image. Not a poor version of it. Are we going to say that the potter is unable to work with the clay that he has in his hands, which is me and you, and the potter is Him, our Creator? Are we saying that He cannot? He's calling us to be changed into the image of His Son, and He can't do that? Are we going to so easily write off Him because of what I want? And so because of what I want, I cannot be transformed into that image, because when I look upon Jesus, I see many things that have to die in me. Everything does. Not many, everything. Everything that is this flesh has to be done away with. And so we need to, dear ones, consider who is it that changes us? This is the Spirit of the Lord does. When I look upon Him and He is so lovely to me, and I stare at Him as we could put in simple terms, right? We're staring at who He is, and we long to be like Him. Because, dear ones, who can look upon Christ and say, I would never want to be like that? His gentleness and meekness and love and humility and everything about Him, which the natural man, as Paul says, is a battle. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who can do this in me? He says, Jesus Christ, my Lord, can. No one else. The Spirit of the Lord can change us, dear ones, into the image from glory to glory. So we can become like Jesus. And I know what's filling our thoughts as we hear that. Yeah, but. It's technically supposed to be like that, but we are limited in the flesh and so on. But this transformation is continual. It we're not a completed work. But when I see who He is, if I'm not beholding Him, I'll never have a desire to be like Him. If I'm not beholding Him, beholding His glory, His glory is who He is. If I'm not beholding Him, then, dear ones, I am also not interested in being like Him. And how am I going to be like him if I'm not interested in him? Never. I won't be. And yet, we read that whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. For what? He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Among many brethren, are we going to be one of those many brethren? That's the question that we have for ourselves. Am I going to be one of the many brethren who have been conformed to the image of his Son? Ultimately, the finality of it all is when he returns. And then when we see him face to face, we will be perfect as he is. But dear ones, the conforming process, the process of we being on the potter's wheel, our clay is being formed, is a lifelong process. And we are continually in the process of being conformed unto his image. What does that mean? Does that mean that I can say, okay, I'm going to take a break this week. I don't want to be formed this week. That's not an option. That's not an option for me to look upon who Christ is, study him, behold him, know him, and say, continue the work next week. Because what are we doing? We're putting off salvation. So I'm not ultimately interested in who he is. And so really, I'm not even beholding him. I'm just glancing at him. And I know in theory who I am supposed to be, but I'm going to put that off for another day when I am more willing, when my flesh is broken, when perhaps I'll lose. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. I'm going to let him do this for me somehow miraculously, because if he's going to predestinate me, foreknow me, that means he's going to do everything in me and I don't have to do anything. And how wrong we are. But dear ones, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We get wrapped up in a moment. And that's our focus, that moment. And the whole big picture of life and our span of years and what is it for is lost in the moment. Whether it's a moment of anger, a moment of lust, a moment of deceit, a moment of any pleasure that this flesh wants, that Paul calls a wretched man. When those things outweigh Christ, that means I don't want him. And so then, as we read here, in the previous verse of Romans 8, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We use that word perhaps a lot of times when something doesn't go right or when something does go right. Either way, things that we can trace to the physical aspect of life. But dear ones, everything works good to them that love God. Everything. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So, if I love God, everything will work out. What will work out? I'm going to be conformed into the image of his Son. And so I will be like Jesus. We could almost perhaps even think, well, that can almost mean, that's almost blasphemous. You're going to be like Jesus. Absolutely. Isn't that what we want to be? We want to be like him. If we love him, we want to be like him. When we adore someone, we adore the aspects of the things that are visible to us that we like about them. And we want to emulate that. We want to be like that. And so we should want to be like his son. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn, and we follow. And so Paul is responding to the grace of God. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What are we to present? A thought, a theory of what we should be? A tear? See, Lord, I love you. What are we to present? Paul is beseeching us. He's pleading. He's begging. Why? Why is Paul beseeching and pleading? Because he loves the Lord. And when he loves the Lord, he's going to love his creation. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? You give up something for your that it could be for you. You give that up for the good of someone else. And so our bodies, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, because my body wants to follow the law of sin. My mind, Paul says, my mind, yes, it accepts the law of God. But the flesh takes the law of sin. And so he says, who will save me from this body of death? And so we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning the things that this body wants to do, we have to forsake. We have to forsake it. And so that it could be presented as holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. It's not like, oh, if you've done this, you're someone great. Wow. That's just what is expected of you. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Well, we already are. We already were, I should say. We were fully conformed to this world. We totally lived in sin. We totally lived for ourselves. We totally ignored the law of God. And we lived for the world, for this flesh. We were conformed. So he's saying, you're in the process of being made complete and perfect. And as you're going through that, don't go back to the conformity of this world. Don't go back to that. Those are the beggarly elements. And he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What will renew my mind? Or your mind? What will renew it? Will a book on philosophy? If we lived in the time of the writings of these epistles, are we going to go to Athens to learn something great, some knowledge that transcends anything we've ever heard before? Where will we look to have a mind renewed? I have to look on Christ. So when I look upon Him. And as I look upon him, I gaze upon him. I don't just glance. It's not a fleeting glance. Because I think all too often, dear ones, we do take too many glances at him, and our eyes are taken off of him. And when our eyes are taken off of him, our focus is off of him, we lose his splendor and his beauty, which is lost upon us, and we're focused upon self, and we are becoming conformed again to this world. And to our fleshly desires and our lusts and our angers and everything else that is within us that Paul is crying out for help for. And so I have to be transformed Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and tells him, you must be born again. This is that transformation. This is that conforming into Christ, into the image of Christ. This is the transforming the renewing of the mind of Nicodemus that he told him about. He says, I don't understand. I don't understand. How can I be born again? Am I going to go back in my mother's womb and come out again? Is someone now that is going to be perfect? He says, no. He says, look upon me. Look upon me, Jesus says. And Paul is urging. Paul found out that when he lived according to the law, perfect. Law was perfect. Keep in mind. Law was perfect. And he lived according to the law. Because the law came from God. Nothing imperfect came from God. It was perfect. But the law revealed to Paul that he can't do it. Paul didn't know he lusted until he was told, thou shalt not covet, he says. Then that revealed to him who he is. And it's supposed to bring him unto Christ. And until he saw Christ, he was dead. Spiritually, he was dead, and he thought he was so alive. Brothers and sisters, my hope and prayer is that we don't live lives that are like the Apostle Paul before he was converted on the road to Damascus, that we don't live lives of being, of claiming to be Christians and not knowing who we're even supposed to look upon. Are we even looking upon? Do we see him the way Paul saw him? Because it is only with a renewed mind that we can prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect, what is the will of God. It can only be done by looking upon him. It was no different when Israel had fallen into sin in the wilderness. They and Moses raised up the brazen serpent, and they had to look upon it. And so, dear ones, we have to look upon Christ. He alone can renew my mind. He alone can give me a new heart. He can transform me, create something completely new. Take away that which is old and bring in that which is new. He is at the wheel, forming me, shaping me. Am I going to say no today? Am I going to resist the potter, the Lord, as he seeks to create me, create in me a new heart and give me new desires, desires that are perfect, desires that are acceptable, desires that are good, desires that are the will of God? He wants to give me those things. I'm going to say, well, give them to me then. Because I'm struggling with this. It's because I'm not looking upon him. I'm not, if I'm not looking upon Christ and he is found, if I'm not beholding the glory of the Lord in the pages of the scriptures, if I'm not seeing his glory when he prayed for those who were smiting him, that sin would not be held against them, because they really don't know what they are doing. Dear ones, when we have seen Jesus, and we all have in the pages of his eternal word, we have seen him. If we choose to ignore him, there is no more prayer for us, because we've seen who he is, and we've rejected him. That is the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We have rejected him, and we will not be held guiltless. He says there is no hope And so we're going to say, okay, but I was baptized. Okay, so we were. And then we even look back on our time, especially to those of us who were baptized 20, 30, 40 years ago, we look back and say, what did I even know? What was I really baptized to? Like, Satan will even want us to question our conversion. Because when we read the conversion of Paul, I think my conversion wasn't nothing like that. But my conversion was just as real and just as powerful. And he is conforming me and molding me, I should say. There's a mold, and it's perfect, and it's Jesus Christ. And there's a mold, and it's evil, and it's this world. Where do we fit? Where do we want to fit? If we want to fit in the world, we're going to look at the things that are of this world. We're going to spend our time. We're going to look at the lustful things, movies and various things that take our paths into dark and deep and ugly places, because that's where I want to be. Or I will look upon Jesus and see his beauty and pray, Lord, make me into the image of thy Son. So, dear ones, it's really all just up to us. The Lord did that which is necessary, that which was needful in order to give us the strength and the power to live lives that are pleasing in his sight. No one is going to look at the life of a Christian and say, what an awful life he lived. No one could look at Christ and say what an awful life he lived. They tried to dig up anything and everything on him. They tried hard. And so they finally had to lie to bring a false witness against him. Dear ones, if you want to sully my name, how deep do you really have to dig? Not too deep. But dear ones, if I look on Christ and I am beholding him and I see his glory as it is written in the pages of this book, I'm going to be changed into that image. May God give unto each of us, brothers, sisters, and dear friends, the desire to behold him, to see his glory, to want that in my life, to be renewed in mind, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen. Thank you.
He, in his infinite power, will allow us to be molded into the image of his dear Son, if we allow his power to do that in us. We began the services with hymn number 164, where it says, "Dear Jesus, would that I could be in all things minded like to thee. Grant, Savior, that I walk aright as child and servant in thy sight." And then the second verse speaks of the image. "Thy life shows what my life should be, a mirror thou and light to me. But oh, how far I am away from thy true image day by day." But if we allow God and his Spirit to work in us, we can be close to his image day by day when we allow him to work in our hearts. In the first chapter of the Bible, God says, "Let us make man in our image." This was the intent of God all along, that our image would be his image, that we would be who God would have us to be, that we would be yielded to him, that our spirit, our man spirit, would be subdued, and that the Spirit of God would reign within us. That's God's desire when he made us in his image. And then there was this time that the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they're trying to trick him in his words and capture him, so they might have something to accuse him about. And they say, "What do you think? Should we pay taxes or should we not pay taxes?" And Jesus says, "Show me an image, or show me a penny." And then he says, "Whose image is on this penny?" And they say, "Caesar's." Well, Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar's those things that are Caesar's, but render unto God those things which are God." So our image should not be in the image of Caesar or the things of this earth, but our image should be in the image of Jesus Christ, allowing him to work in our hearts, that we might be more and more like him, and that we might be who he has called us to be, and the power that he has given unto us, that we might be in his image. May God grant unto us that blessing, that we might walk in his image. Amen.